that God made the covenant of works with Adam and mankind, and the covenant of grace revealed progressively. Last time we talked about Noah, a nobody, a sinner, who was called by God. We also talked about Abram, and Noah, also called by God. And see, in Genesis 6-8, Noah saved by God. And God made a covenant with Noah. And what's next? God is so gracious to even give a covenant sign as if God will forget. Likewise with Abram, or now Abraham, God saved him, called him out from his pagan idolater family members and country, and saved him, made a covenant with him, declared him righteous. And today we will see that God also gave a covenant sign to Abram. So God swore the covenant, we look at that in Genesis 15, and Abram was the passive party. He was asleep as the fire pot and the furnace passed through the dead animals. That shows us that Jesus is the surety of Abram's covenant blessings. And God gives the covenant sign. Why? Because God, we are forgetful. In case of Noah, it was rainbow. And in case of Abram, we will see today, it is the circumcision. So we will see in chapter 17, verses 1 to 14. I divide it into three sections. The covenant affirmation, the first three verses. The chief protagonist, the next verses. And covenant sign given. So we will look at the first one first, the covenant affirmation. Abram was 99 years old. The Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly." You can count how many times you have heard that. But look, 99 years old, when Abram was called out, how old was he? 75. Time has passed. 10 years, 20 years, 24 years. No descendants yet. So Abram was weary. He doubted. And so God appeared and spoke to him. So God responds to Abram's struggling heart. God knows what we are going through. And He speaks to us to comfort us. Now, you will also see that God continuously assures Abram of God's promise. You see the words, in words, Genesis 12, Genesis 13, Genesis 15. And then Abram did not believe. We have Hagar and Ishmael. But yet God is faithful. Not Ishmael, Abraham. It will be your own descendant, Genesis 17. By words alone, multiple times. But not just that. Action. You see, God brings about the commandments that He calls Abram to obey. He separated Abram from Lot. He helped Abram rescue Lot. He cut the covenant for Abram. He even blesses Ishmael. That's how faithful our God is to His promise. Because Ishmael, after all, is Abram's descendant. So we see that God's promise. Why? In what can we believe this? In my faithfulness? Keeping that? In my obedience? No. Look at the word of the Lord. God said to him, "I am Almighty God." His promise is sure because He is the God who He is. The I Am. Yahweh. The El Shaddai. That is the word in Hebrew. The Almighty, the All-Sufficient I Am. I Am means always present, always sufficient, never changes. Calvin said, "Let us have no other foundation of our faith than this word, I, spoken by the mouth of God alone." And then God also says, I will make my covenant between me and you. The original word here is actually give. So some people say, oh, you gotta obey first, then I will make the covenant. No. The word give here is just showing, I have made it for you, I have cut it before, and I will give it to you. It is surely promised and will be given, as we will see as we go on. This is why we see in 2 Peter 1:10, Peter says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Can you see the angle that Peter's working on? It's not to move God to fulfill his promise, but for you to be assured, for you to not stumble. Make it sure for yourself. Your obedience helps you to see God's faithfulness. And this reminds me, we should, as church, we should not shy away from calling Christians to obey, to follow. That doesn't say it's work-based salvation. No. We are saved by grace, done deal, clear. But we call people to obey precisely because we know God calls us. And he calls us to be holy. And this all-sufficient God will make it happen in our lives. Therefore, we call people with faith. Obey, and he will work it. Now we move on to the next verse, verse 3. Immediately, Abram worshipped. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, my question for you, people of God, is when you hear God's word, what is your response? Do you fear him? Do you trust the word? Do you even bother listening to him? The first generation of Israelites, they did not believe. They even accused God, slandered God. But Abram here, the father of all believers, believed. And he bowed down to worship God. Tell you what, this leads to more revelation of God, to deeper, more intimate connection between Abram and God. Because God immediately talked to him, saying further. So the more we believe in God, the more we come to him, the more you trust his word, you will see him even clearer. And you will love him even dearer. So it begins with the word. Don't go anywhere else. Begin here, the Bible. Now the next section, I entitled Chief Protagonist, verses 4 to 8. If you scan through your Bible quickly, from verse 4 to 8, you see, as for me, says God, behold, my covenant is with you. And then God renames Abraham. Verse 6, I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations out of you. Verse 7, I will establish my covenant. I will make you. Can you see who is the active person here? My God, he will fulfill his word. So we look slowly one by one, verses 4 and 5. As for me, says God, my covenant is with you. It is sure. From my end, it is reality. And then what does the first thing he do there? God gave Abram a new name. What does that mean? Name is identity. Name is usually given by the owner, pets, for example, or by the parents. We name our children. Remember the memory verse we just read today? Adam had the authority given by God to have dominion over the creation. So he had the authority to name the animals, the cattle, and all. You see that? Naming is a sign of authority. And here God shows, you are mine, and this is your name. This is your identity. Leave your father's house. You're not Abram bin Nahor anymore. You're Abram bin God, bin Yahweh, if you will. So you want to realize, the word of God gives authority, and also it possesses In creation, God speaks, let there be light. And it was so. And light is created and named as light. It's known as that. Likewise, here I call you Abraham, a father of many nations. And Abram became so. It became his name, and today you know. He is the father of many nations. You and I are children of Abraham, those who believe in Jesus Christ through faith. In Revelation, we hear that God will give his children a new name. Revelation 2:17. God writes on his child his name. So we are known by his name. We have new identity. We are known, identified by his name. Revelation 3:12. So brothers and sisters, evaluate the way we live. Are we indeed new creation in the Lord Jesus? Do we really belong to him? How about our walk? Can people see that Jesus rules in your hearts? Can the world see that this church proclaims this name every day and every week and every Sunday? May this be our meditation day and night. We move on to verses 6, 7, and 8. God speaks, I will establish my covenant between me and you. You heard that many times. Three times, in fact. And here he says, and your descendants. To remind our forgetful hearts, the Bible is repetitive. There's not secrets anymore. But if you look deeper, it is just written so beautifully. Like beautiful music is rich because it has patterns. It has motifs everywhere being outworked so beautifully. Guess where the composers learned that from? The Creator himself. And likewise with his word, he is very careful in giving us his word. Every word is inspired. So if you see this section from verses 1 to 27 briefly, I give you the chiasm. We talked about that last week, how the writing is structured. This chapter begins with saying Abram was 99 years old. That's a point A. And then the Lord appeared to Abram. Point B. Next point, I will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face. Then God says, you shall be a father of many nations. And then God also promised, I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants. What is the center? Where is this building up to? This is the center axis. To be God to you and your descendants. God has one big mighty plan to adopt us, to be our God and us to be his children. Don't set your hope on anything else but this. Be glad if you can still call Father in heaven, my Father. That is the greatest blessing. Be joyful when you can still say, my Jesus is mine and I belong to him, body and soul, in life or in death. This is the centerpiece of our existence, to be known as his people, him, our Father. And see, the rest is just working it backward, like just fulfilling that mission. Therefore, you, Abram, should keep your covenant, you and your descendants. What about Hannah? What about Sarah? Sarah shall be the mother of many nations. Then Abram fell in worship. And then God promised again, even for Ishmael and for Isaac here, I will multiply Isaac exceedingly. And God went up from Abram, and we are reminded, Abram was 99 years old. It's impossible. And this is the promise of God. The heart of the covenant is Emmanuel, God with us. And you know that. That is Jesus with us today, with the church. We are not alone in this persecuted world. Now, we have seen that God is the main actor, right, in fulfilling his commandment. We see that man has responsibility But here we see man's responsibility meets with God's grace. Like Ligon Duncan says, among other things, grace is for the enabling of the believer to do what God has called the believer to do. We obey because the Spirit works in us. Therefore, brothers and sisters, by the grace of God in Jesus Christ, you and I should be able to say, "Oh, how I love your law." It is not our nature for sure, but then we are given new hearts, and the Spirit is working every day. If you realize that you sin, that is the Spirit telling you, you ought not to be that anymore. If you remember His Word, that is the Spirit. So the Word of God is being outworked. His command is being realized in our hearts, in our lives. Be encouraged. Keep fighting. Pursue holiness, and you will see His work in your life. And this is also important to remember because Christians are not antinomians. A lot of churches say, oh, the law is for the past, for that previous dispensation. We are done with that. Now we are free in Christ. Excuse me. They just have a very skewed understanding of the Bible. The Bible is one book of one story progressively being revealed. So the law is what? The character of God. The guide for the people of God to live. It is for us, for the church today. So we're not anti-law, but the law will guide us every day. The law will reveal us our sin and reveal us how holy God is. Do you see this longing in your heart? Do you hear the Spirit calling you to open the Word, to refresh those verses, calling you for repentance and obedience? Do not resist His voice. The last section talks about the covenant sign being instituted. Now, I want to talk a bit more about this sign. It is unique because of the relationship with the thing that it signifies. So what is the promise? The covenant is not named the covenant of circumcision. No. But then we see it multiple times in the Bible. It's known as the covenant of circumcision. Why? Because the relationship of the name, of the covenant itself and the sign is very close. So the names are interchangeable in that sense. So you can see the flow and the parallelism of the text in Genesis 17. If you want, you can look at the handout. It's easy because I outlined it that way. Verses 9 to 11. As for you, verse 9, you shall keep my covenant. That is a covenant. We know what it is. And then if you see the bottom part, this is my covenant which you shall keep. Can you see that side? Talking about the covenant. Then this side, you have the recipients. Who is the recipient of this covenant? Answer, you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. The next verse also says, between me and you and your descendants after you. So we have the covenant, the recipient who is given. Now, God proceeds to talk about the sign. Every male child among you shall be circumcised. And you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. God is clear. This is not the covenant itself. It is the sign. But yet it is important, so tightly related, so that it is inseparable. I want you to realize the old covenant, even with Adam before, it was mission-oriented. Fulfill my word. Fill the earth. Have dominion. Make my name known. Right? And then you see the new covenant is so much more missiological. Even bless others. For us today, bring others to Jesus where true blessing is found. Now we can understand when we read Acts chapter 2, verses 38, 39, this is a very famous verse. Let me read it for you. Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Can't you see the language here is very similar, taken from Genesis 17. The promise, the covenant is for you. The promise, the covenant is for you, recipients, and your children, and those who are far off. And then what is the sign? It was circumcision. And here, let every one of you be baptized. Then people start thinking, oh, baptism saves. No, it doesn't. But it's just so related to the sign that you must obey. Baptism is a sign, the covenant sign for Christians, a sign of the entrance to the covenant community, the church. And remember how serious God is with circumcision. Remember the story of Moses' son that God was about to kill because he was not circumcised. You can read about that, Exodus chapter 4. Likewise, God is serious about church membership and baptism. And then we did touch a bit about recipients. It is Abraham for circumcision, Abraham and every male under his authority. Ishmael is clearly not the son of the covenant, but since he was in Abram's house, he was to be circumcised. Now, likewise, baptism is to be administered to Christians and their children. Those who profess Jesus Christ supposed to receive that. If the new covenant is so much more missiological, if it is so much more inclusive that even females receive the sign, in the old it's only males. How can you exclude and become less inclusive in the new covenant? Can you see the problem when we try to limit that? We only see how it is progressively revealed from a tiny light into a very broad daylight. So now we see the fullness of the church, people of different races and languages. Likewise, the covenant is open for those who profess and even the children of those who profess, the believers. Now I have to emphasize the role. Like agreements are written on papers, carved on stones, God's covenant with Abraham is written in the flesh, literally. It does not bring salvation. I have to emphasize that again and again. But it has a role. It is a sign, the sign, to serve as an outward sign of the entrance into the covenant community. It is a sign, outward sign. Let's read Genesis 17, verse 14, together. The uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. Can you see? The sign is so important. You have to obey. You have to get the sign. Take the sign upon you. So baptism is important. Obedience to the sign is important. Secondly, it is to signify the need for the circumcision of the heart and remind us of the eternal life it brings. Let us read together Deuteronomy 10:16 together. Therefore, circumcise the foreskin of your heart and be stiff-necked no longer. See, this is a commandment that God gives Israelites. Be circumcised. Do it. But, same book, Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verse 6. Let's read it together. For God will circumcise your heart and the hearts of your descendants. Of the Lord, all your soul, that you may live. Who is the active participant here? The Lord your God. He will circumcise your heart. Can you see? Man is given responsibility. And yet God also says, I will do it. I will bring about obedience in your life. Lastly, the sign is also reminding the person's responsibility as God's people. It should not lead to presumption. Oh, my children are baptized. They're fine. They will go to heaven. Doctrine from hell. They're fine because they're baptized. No, it is an outward sign because we are forgetful. So when we remember, I am baptized. I am called by my God. I was baptized as a baby in Roman Catholic Church by a Roman Catholic priest. I don't even know who. But today I can say that God that claimed me as his own, he is faithful and he brought about the reality that he promised. Today I am his son. I can call upon him and he will carry me through to the end. So this should push us to trust Him more and to obey. Remind us our responsibility to circumcise our hearts. So baptism serves us that way. Now let us summarize quickly. Circumcision, baptism does not save. I have to emphasize that so many times. Like Abraham, we are counted righteous by grace through faith. Secondly, God's saving grace brings about obedience. This gets mixed up so many times. One extreme, you are saved, you're free. The other extreme, unless you obey, you're not saved. Bible's way. You're saved by grace through faith. And this grace brings about obedience. You will see the fruit. Therefore, obey. The Spirit is working that in every believer's heart. So yield. Otherwise, the faithful God will discipline us. If indeed you are His people. Just as every child of Abraham must be circumcised, must be a member of the covenant community, every Christian must strive to be a professing member of the covenant people. Which is the church, visible church. This is not just to ramp up the numbers, membership numbers, good report for us elders, no. But this is for your own heart welfare. This is where God's people bound themselves together in covenant, so that we are united to love God, to serve God, to keep each other accountable. Be part of that. God gives a covenant sign, not for Him, for us, that we may be affirmed and reminded of His faithfulness. It points not to me, it points not to my pastors or anyone else, but to God's faithfulness and to our obligation. And don't forget the important part. On one side, God makes it our obligation to circumcise our heart, to repent and to love Him. But on the other side, behind the scene, you will see that He is the active agent who circumcises our heart. See the verses cited above. So if you are in Christ, brothers and sisters, trust in the Word and find assurance and comfort. His faithfulness, His assurance should cause us to be more eager to trust and to obey. Believe His word. When He says it's good for you, it's good for you. You might not see it today. How can I, by becoming a member of a church, be a better Christian? Taste and see. Come, profess your faith, and see how rich He pours out His blessing in the covenant community. How can baptism, that water, changes me? How can the Lord's Supper strengthen my faith? Come. Taste and see, and you will know that He is not a liar. But if you're not in Christ, if you have not circumcised your heart, you can't do it on your own. You go to doctors to do surgery. Will you do surgery on your own with your own heart? come to Jesus, the one who can do this life-giving surgery. You know what God said? The uncircumcised male child will be cut off. Jesus, the one with perfect obedience, was cut off. He was punished for our sins, so that He may become our mediator. He may be our Savior, our Lord and King. So He's calling you today, come to Him and give your heart to Him and let Him do this surgery, and you will know what true life is. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for uniting us in this covenant community. It's barren out there. It's scary out there. And we are weak and prone to wander. But you give us the church. Unite the church with your Spirit. Head the church with Jesus Christ. That there is no other place more secure than this church in this world. So Father, we pray that every heart who is present today may trust in your word and find refuge in the church where the word of Jesus Christ is preached, where Jesus Christ is the Lord and the Savior of this church, when the God Yahweh Himself is worshipped. Keep us from going astray, from stumbling. Help us to see that our obedience only helps us to see your faithfulness. Teach us when we are stiff-necked. Make us to obey. And also teach us to teach one another so that we do not fall, so that we do not go away from the covenant people. Help the elders and the pastor here that they all may be able to lead these people safely with the word. For it is where salvation begins and ends. Thank you that you are with us. Help us to preach this word and truth until you come again. For we know you will come and fetch us home. Until that day, be with your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.